Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Because I was meditating today on the whole idea of Elisha and the widow woman who... the widow woman came to Elisha and said, you know, my husband who served you, he died, okay? Which is bad news for somebody that was in charge and somebody that served him. And she said, all we've got is just a little bit of oil left. We're gonna make a biscuit for me and my son, and then we're going to go die, okay? You guys all know the story. And the whole idea of it is that she came to Elisha and she said, we have nothing. Okay, has anybody ever been in that position where you don't feel like you have anything? She said, we have nothing. And he said, really? I don't think he said that, but in my mind he said that. He said, really? You have nothing? And she said, well, we've got this little bit of oil. Okay, and do you understand that's what provoked the miracle? Not that she had nothing, is that what she had that wasn't enough is what God used. Which is good news for everybody here. And I was gonna open up with that because I meditated on it all day. But Peyton Coder, I saw her in the parking lot, and I made her drive the golf cart around because she ticked me off. But she said, oh, I heard a preacher preach that today. And I'm like, okay, well, I was on the golf course today. I didn't hear a preacher preach it today. I was just meditating on it, okay? And it's neither here nor there where I was. I'm just saying, that this is like the second time in the history of teaching the Bible that story has been preached. And so I'm not going to open up with that one, okay? I'm going to open up with 1 Kings chapter 18. How many guys want God to change your life tonight? Anybody want your life changed tonight? Let me tell you, Nathaniel, do you mind standing? Nathaniel's life was changed tonight because his son slid down the slide. Because I said, you want to slide down the slide? And he said, no. And see, nobody was sliding down the slide. Why have a slide with water on with no kids sliding down it? It makes no sense, right? And somebody over there at the kids church said, well, they'll track water in. I'm like, okay, get rid of those people, okay? We have to have fun church. We want to track water in, all right? This isn't your house, it's a church. We have people, we can mop it up. But so Nathaniel's son, what's the little one that loves me? What's his name? Emery. Emery's down for whatever. I said, Emery, you want to slide down the slide? He said, no. I said, Emery, I'll give your dad a raise if you slide down that slide. Let me tell you, that little sucker sprinted over there, kicked his shoes off, ran up the deal. So how about a raise for Nathaniel right now, okay? How much should it be? $10? No. How about $200 a month? Is that fair? We're going to take another offering if you keep saying no, Vanessa. Is that too much or too little? It's too little. Oh, Sandy, no one asked you, Sandy. Okay, $250 a month. Is that fair? Okay, Who just said higher? This is the Lord's money, okay? It's like stealing. I want to apologize to everybody watching online that already left. They probably checked out. And went over to that other Yahoo preacher who preached that. Okay, so let's read. I'm not opening up with Elisha. I'm going big guns Elijah. That's what I'm opening. This isn't the message. You're going to be here a while tonight. The kids are sliding down a water slide, and they're not going to track it back into the building. So we're getting in the Word. Okay, you guys ready to get in the Word? Act like you got some sense tonight, all right? Act like you're at church and you've been here before. How many times is your first time here? Okay, a couple of you. Well, the rest of you, how many guys, it's not your first time here? Okay, act like it, all right? During the third year without rain, it already starts off, it's bad news, right? 3 years without rain, you're from Baton Rouge, it rains all the time, so you have no idea. You had other issues, right? It wasn't food, and it wasn't rain, all right? But you had to build your house on stilts because it rained so much, and you're below sea level, which makes no sense. You'd build water everywhere. Okay, during the third year without rain, the Lord spoke his word to Elijah. Go and meet King Ahab, and I'll soon send rain. So Elijah went to meet Ahab. By this time, there was no food in Samaria. Another bit of bad news, okay? No water, no food. Okay, so King Ahab sent to Obadiah, who was in charge of the king's palace. Obadiah was a true follower of the Lord. When Jezebel was killing all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah hid 100 of them in two caves, 50 in one and 50 in the other. Evidently, he was like administrative or something, okay? It was like some OCD kicked in. He said, okay, we need 50 and 50, okay? I have that issue sometimes, okay? So when And he also brought them food and water. Verse 5, Ahab said to Obadiah, let's check every spring and valley in the land. Oh, you guys aren't seeing this right now, but you're going to because I asked for it. I don't want it here. I want it here. I have a device. This church service is so disappointing for many people. Where was I then? Ahab said to Obadiah, let's check every spring and valley in the land. Maybe we could find enough grass to keep our horses and mules alive and not have to kill our animals, okay? This is, do you understand the plight of these people, okay? It was a bad day. Write that in the margin of your notes. It was a bad day, okay? So each one chose a part of the country to search. Ahab went in one direction and Obadiah went another. While Obadiah was on his way, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized Elijah, so he bowed down to the ground and said, Elijah, is it really you, master? Yes, Elijah answered. Go tell your master that I'm here. Then Obadiah said, what wrong have I done for you to hand me over to Ahab like this? He will put me to death. As surely as the Lord your God lives, the king has sent people to every country to search for you. If the ruler said you were not there, Ahab forced the ruler to swear you could not be found in his country. See, Ahab had already found out that Elijah wasn't there, and that Elijah was the only one that really they thought there was any hope to bring any kind of rain. So now you want me to go to my master and tell him Elijah's here, that the Spirit of the Lord may carry you to some other place after I leave. If I go tell King Ahab, see, evidently Elijah was very unpredictable here, okay? If I go tell King Ahab you're here and he comes and doesn't find you, he'll kill me. I have followed the Lord since I was a boy. Haven't you been told what I did when Jezebel was killing the Lord's prophet? I hid 100 of them, 50 in one cave and 50 in another. I brought them food and water. Now you want me to go and tell my master you're here. He will kill me. Okay, verse 15. Elijah said, this is what caught my attention in this chapter. All right, so verse 15. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, all in this version, listen to this. As surely as the Lord all-powerful lives, whom I serve, I will be seen by Ahab today. Okay? So many of you guys are in the plight. It hadn't rained in 3 years. There's no food. You got to feed your animals grass before they die. And you've got nothing. And, oh, maybe just a little bit of oil. Whatever the enemy's trying to deceive you with. Let me tell you, the attitude that you have to take is as surely as the Lord Almighty, all-powerful lives. Everybody say that. As surely as the Lord all-powerful lives. Say it again. As surely as the Lord all-powerful. Say it again. As surely as the Lord all-powerful. Man, let me just tell you something. Ahab's going to see me. This will happen today. Everybody say that. This will happen today. See, there's a mindset that has to shift in us. There's too many people. I talked to a guy today that said, man, I'm serving God. I'm doing great. Everything's wonderful. I've never had a financial breakthrough. I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you live in your truck? He said, no, we live in a house. I said, how old is your house? He said, our house is a year old. I'm like, shoot, how old was I when I finally had a house that was a year old, Sandy? Old. Middle-aged, don't you think? No, Scott and Vanessa moved into a nice house right away and rubbed my nose in it. And I said, God, I don't care if I ever live in a palace like this. I'm still going to serve you. Huh? I was 36. That's not old. I'm 60 now. I don't know what that is. Okay, so I was 30, a year old. But I never wondered, Sandy, did we ever wonder about having a financial breakthrough? Well, the year we started the church, we had $7,000 in taxable income. Write that down. $7,000, and we went and started a church. How stupid were we? It makes no sense, does it? I mean, my goodness, we were poor and didn't know it. And that's a great place to be. And that's where I want to be. I want to be, because you're not broke. You come in and he say, what do you have? I got nothing, right? Yeah. No, you got something. Write that down. I've got something. And what I have, God's going to use it. And what does God do? God multiplies. Hey, do you guys know the word? How many of you guys know the word? How many of you guys have ever heard the word? The word says, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of life are going to flow out of you. Is that just a pipe dream? How many of you guys believe that? Well, let me just tell you, you got more than enough then. Let me keep reading because this is very cool. Verse 15, I want to read it again because I like that part. As surely as the Lord all-powerful lives, whom I serve, I will be seen by Ahab today. So Obadiah went to Ahab and told him where Elijah was. Then Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he asked him, is it you, the biggest troublemaker in Israel? Elijah answered and said, I've not made trouble in Israel. You and your father's family have made all this trouble by not obeying the Lord's command. You have gone after the Baals. Now tell all of Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel. Also bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah and who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab called all the Israelites and those prophets to Mount Carmel. Elijah approached the people and said, how long will you not decide between two choices? If the Lord is the true God, follow him. But if Baal is the true God, follow him. But the people said nothing. See, this is amazing. How many prophets did they assemble? Over 800 prophets. And here's Elijah by himself. How many guys ever feel like you're by yourself? How many of you guys ever feel like you don't have anything, you don't have enough, it's not going to work out, and you're all by yourself? Let me tell you, there's a pattern to all this. It's how the devil operates. We can't be ignorant of his devices. Let me explain something to you. The devil is not creative. He's not creating new things to jack with you. It's all old. It's over and over and over. Let me tell you what the devil has. The devil has a loop that he's trying to keep you down with. Once you figure that out, let me tell you, you're way ahead of the game. So Ahab called the Israelites, and he said, Elijah said, I am the only prophet of the Lord, verse 22. I am the only prophet of the Lord here. He's got over 800 of these guys. He said, look, I'm the only man of God. This is it. See the attitude you have to take? See, let me tell you what I'm a pet peeve of mine is the Bible says with the hands of the sick and they recover, right? A pet peeve of mine is when people say, it's not about me. It's not my hands. Oh, really? It's not what the word says. The word says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Man, there's other times where the Lord will raise him up. But this time, he said, these signs will follow those who believe. Man, if we believe, what's on the inside of us? More than enough. What's on the inside of us? Rivers, plural, multiple of living. So it multiplies now in your life. There's a multiplication that's ready to burst from your being, from your life. Because it's rivers of living water. It's not, okay, a river, there's going to be a stream. There's going to be a gentle brook. It's going to be a babbling brook it's going to be rivers. It's going to make a dadgum mess everywhere. Let me tell you what happens. What happens when rivers meet? You check cities in America where rivers, you check cities in the world where rivers meet. Let me tell you what. There's a lot of resource. There's a lot of industry. And now those rivers have met in you, and now they flow from you. I'm the only prophet of the Lord here, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one bull and kill it and cut it into pieces. Then let them put the meat on the wood, but they are not to set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull, putting the meat on the wood, but not setting fire to it. You prophets of Baal, pray to your God, and I'll pray to the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to his wood is the true God. All the people agreed that this is a good idea. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, there are many of you, so you go first. Choose a bull and prepare it. Pray to your God, but don't start the fire. So they took the bull that was given to them and prepared it. They prayed to Baal from the morning until noon, shouting, "Baal, answer us! Baal, answer us!" But there was no sound, and no one answered. They danced around the altar they had built. At noon, Elijah began to make fun of them. How many of you guys love God? Is this amazing? Let me tell you the attitude that you need to take with your adversaries. Here's 400 prophets. You know what they're saying? "Oh, Baal, come on, come on. This is ridiculous." So they began to dance, and they're thinking, okay, we're going to try to conjure this up. We're going to try to make this happen. You guys still with me? Come on, stay with me. At noon, Elijah began to make fun of them. Underline that or highlight that in your Bible, because that's just really cool. "Pray louder," he said. "Maybe your God can't hear you. If Baal really is God, maybe he's thinking, or maybe he's busy, or maybe he's traveling. Maybe he's asleep, so you might have to wake him." Are you loving this? Are you setting things in motion in your own situations and in your own life and in your own, in the attitude that you have? Abel, you set things in motion. The prophets prayed louder. They cut themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed, which was the way they worshiped. The afternoon passed, and the prophets continued to act like this until it was time for the evening sacrifice, but no voice was heard. Baal did not answer, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Now come to me." So they gathered around him, and Elijah... See, that's why you're here. The false prophets that have been in your past in your life haven't worked. They haven't. So now it's like, wait a second. Let's try Jesus. Let's try God. Maybe this will work. Now listen. So they gathered around him, and Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one stone for each of the 12 tribes, the number of Jacob's sons. The Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. Elijah used these stones to rebuild the altar in honor of the Lord. Then he dug a ditch around the altar that was big enough to hold about 13 quarts of seed. Elijah put the wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the meat and on the wood." Then Elijah said, "Do it again," and they did it again. Then he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it again. And so the water ran off the altar and even filled the ditch. He said, "Douse the wood." And then what did he say, Charlie? "Put some more on there." And then what did he say, Charlie? "Put some more on there. Douse the wood." And he dug a ditch so it kept the water right there where they were trying to build a fire at that altar. He's saying, "Hey, where's your God? You guys, I haven't heard anything. Maybe Baal's busy. Maybe Baal's hard of hearing. Maybe Baal's traveling. Maybe Baal's sleeping." But then he said, "No, you know what we're going to do? We're going to douse all of this wood and all this meat and everything with this water, and we're going to dig a ditch around it so it captures the water so it stays wet." Because he had it up to here with the prophets of Baal. So he said, "Do it again, do it again, do it again." So the water ran off the altar and filled the ditch. Verse 36, "At the time of the evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah went near the altar. 'Lord, you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel," or Jacob. "Prove that you're the God of Israel and that I'm your servant. Show these people that you commanded me to do all these things. Lord, answer my prayer so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you will change their minds." Then fire from the Lord came down and burned the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the ground around the altar, and it dried up the water in the ditch. When all the people saw this, they fell down to the ground crying, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." Then Elijah said, "Capture the prophets of Baal. Don't let any of them run away." The people captured the prophets. Then Elijah led them down to Kishon Valley, where he killed them. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Now go, eat and drink, because a heavy rain is coming." How long had it been since it rained? 3 years. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Now go and eat, because rain's going to come. So King Ahab went to eat and drink. At the same time, Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, where he bent down to the ground with his head between his knees. Then Elijah said to his servant, "Go look toward the sea." The servant went and looked, and he said, "I see nothing." Elijah told him to go and look again. This happened seven times. The seventh time the servant said, "I see a small cloud the size of a human fist coming from the sea." Elijah told the servant, "Go to Ahab and tell him to get his chariot ready and go home now. Otherwise, the rain's going to stop him." Now remember, Elisha went to the widow woman, and he said, "What do you have?" And what did she say? "I have nothing." "Hey, go check." He put his head between his knees. He began to pray, and he said to his servant, "Now go check." Man, that guy went and ran, and he looked out over the sea, and he came back, and he ran back, and he said, "Man, there's nothing." And you know, Elijah said, "Okay, good. That's good. Good report. Go check again. 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 Go check again." Let me tell you, this guy, listen to this day. This is a 24-hour period here. He said, "Man, have all the prophets of Baal get in there." You know what he did? He made fun of them. He laughed at them. He laughed at their God, and then he killed them. Let me just tell you, we can't play here. There's been too long in your life that you've just been slap fighting with your adversaries. And let me tell you, the false prophets in your life may not be called Baal, but you've given them a voice. That you'll never make it, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never meet somebody you'll be happy with. Man, I've been married before, and it hadn't worked out. Maybe it's just not going to work out. You know, I haven't been able to have kids for this long. Whatever it might be, man, it might be a financial suppression in your life. How many of you guys want to live your life with a financial suppression in your life? I don't want to. Because my Bible says that God gives me the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. Can I establish God's covenant without wealth? I don't want to. Because there's a direct connection between wealth and establishing God's covenant. See, the bottom line with this is that we've got to look at our lives, and we've got to look at who we are, and we've got to know who God is. Let me tell you what Elijah had. He had an identity with God. And yeah, you know what? It goes now where he'll run from Jezebel now. And let me tell you, because the prophets of Baal, he didn't run from them. Jezebel had a spirit. The things you're running from, the Bible says that foolish men, unrighteous men, run when no one's chasing them. And here's Elijah, just killed 450 prophets of Baal, and now he's running from a woman with an evil spirit that controlled all those prophets. See, you got to understand, it's not just the situation or the circumstance that you have to overcome. It's the spirit behind it. Behind every natural law, there's a spiritual law. Man, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's a natural law. So how can that be true? How can that be right? Because there's a spiritual law that backs it up. That the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. That out of me will flow rivers of living, healing water. See, that's what living is. Do you understand that? See, you don't need living water unless there's dead or dying things in your life. Or in your aim. So what does life do? It overcomes death. What's Romans 4:17 say? That we serve a God. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? We serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. And let me tell you something. That's all Elijah did. Man, Elijah's identity was in what? It was in God. It was in God's promise. Yeah, I get it. You failed. Yeah, I get it. The enemy's messed with you. But let me just tell you, there can't be a suppression on your finances anymore. And yeah, tonight I'm going money. There can't be. Man, what you've got to do is you've got to look and say, the devil, all he wants to do is rip you off. Man, I made a pledge to the capital campaign and I didn't fulfill that pledge and I feel awkward about it. It's like, listen, can I be real with you? I don't care that you fulfill the pledge. I care that you give toward it. Because let me just tell you what happens. If you give toward it, you'll fulfill it. But I don't care. I'm not going to make a call and say, hey, you haven't fulfilled your pledge. No, we've raised $2 million as a church. That's very generous. That's amazing. We've never done it before. I'm the worst of the littlest of the puniest of the worst of the weakest tribe fundraising. I get it. But guess what? God's faithful. And you know what? You made a pledge. You're like, well, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe you just need to give toward it. This might be a word for you. Maybe just give toward it. A day is as of 1,000 years to God. There's not a time limit on this. Man, we've kept that account open. Do you know that? And we just decided we're going to keep it open until the end of the year. We'll just see what God does. Because I know God speaks to people. Man, we're coming up on less than a month to go in the internship. And let me just tell you, we're gonna hit it and hit it. We're going to remind people. We're not badgering anybody. But let me just tell you, we're going to remind you. We're going to remind you. We're going to remind you. Why? Because there's something great in you. I love what Scott said. Scott said, look, man, if you go through the internship because you know there's a call to full-time ministry, great. But if you don't know and you just want to get better, man, there's something great on the inside of you. How are you going to find out without something like that? Because let me tell you how you find out what's great in you. You know what it requires? Discipline and sacrifice. It requires a decision, discipline, and sacrifice. And that's it. It doesn't cost you any money. It doesn't matter what your education is. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born in. Doesn't matter what family, doesn't matter what your name is. No. Taylor's starting a church downtown in September on Tuesday nights. Well, yeah, his name's Shear. Yeah, that's got a little bit to do with it. But you know what? He's got to prove there's a call and a gift in his life. Just like you do. Just like I have to. See, nothing's been given us by man. None of you guys hired me. None of you guys could fire me. You could walk out. That's firing me personally. But man, God did it. I'm looking forward to heaven at some point. Because I'll know then. I'll know all things. I'll know why God chose Sandy and I to do this. Why God chose the Houstons. There were tons of other people. Why'd God pick Joel to do what God's called Joel to do? I don't know. Man, are there some blind spots? Yeah. I'm gifted in blind spots. Man, I want to promote people way too fast, don't I, Sandy? The Bible says, man, be careful promoting a novice to a place of authority lest they fall under the same temptation as Lucifer. So what's the temptation of Lucifer? Pride. I don't want to be like God. I don't want to be as God. I want to be God. Right, Tuck? Man, I want to be God. So it's like, well, wait a second. So what happens when there's a novice? Why do we want you at church? Because you come in as a novice. You may know bookkeeping. You may know counseling. You may know medicine. You may know the law. But let me tell you something. This is a whole different deal. Man, we're believing in something we've never seen. We're trusting God with something that I will never see in my natural life. And I'm somehow great with it. Man, you got to change the mindset on who you are. Man, God's made us to be priests and kings. Did you know that? What's the priestly life? It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of discipline. King, a king's life. What's the life of a king? See, we think a king is just somebody that's loaded. We think a king is somebody that has control and is a shot caller. We think a king is somebody that sits on a throne with a scepter and a goblet. Chris and I talked about this week. No, you know what? You know what the king's business is? Go to war. You know what the king does? He splits up the spoils of the enemy. See, there's scripture, there's a scriptural basis to where the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So we're thinking, oh, money's gonna just end up in my mailbox. That's not how it works. Maybe when you're a babe in Christ, and maybe there's some serendipitous things that happen. This isn't the lottery. You got to go get it. It's out there. What does it require? It requires the right decisions. It requires discipline. It requires sacrifice. And you know what? It requires warfare. What happened to David, the greatest king, the greatest warrior that's ever walked on this planet? When kings were supposed to be at war, David took a day off, and what happened? He was tempted just because he saw a fleeting glance of an unclothed woman. So you know what it did? Man, the enemy saw that he noticed that and saw that he didn't reject that. And you know what that lust then, what it turned into? It turned into a plan that David had to take that woman's husband and put him unarmed in the front lines and send him into battle. He sent her husband to his death just because he wasn't where and doing what kings were supposed to be. That's it. Think about your life. Where are you supposed to be? Man, we're supposed to be in God's word. Why? Because we'll begin to identify. The word's alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than anything on the planet. It's the only weapon that we have. See, and the devil may not get you to deny Jesus. So what he's going to try to do is get you that you don't have anything, or get you that you have very little. You know why we're sitting here today? You know why I'm preaching here today after 25 and a half years? It's because we never had enough to do what we wanted to do. And God proved himself as the supply of our lives. Man, if you've got enough, if you're looking for your financial breakthrough, why? So you don't have to trust God? Is that why you want a financial breakthrough? Is it more comforting? It'd be more comfortable for me to have it than to believe for it. It'd be more comfortable for it to be sitting in a bank account than it would be for me to trust God for it. I think that rang the bell. Let me just tell you, your financial breakthrough is in God's promise. God promises you, are you ready? That all your needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God promises you that he gives you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. God promises you that everything you dutifully put your hand to prospers. What do I need to do? You need to get after it. And what God told Moses, Moses had all the excuses. And you know what God told Moses? Go and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say. No, God, you got that stuff out of order. I want to make sure that you're with my mouth. I want you to tell me what to say before I go. What are you going to say? See, I'm hoping this message is for somebody tonight. I really am. I'm really hoping that this... Like, I want to grab you. I want to shake you. You know what I mean? Wake up. Stop sleepwalking. The King of Kings has taken up residency on the inside of you. What the heck would you worry about? Oh, but they've got 400 prophets. They're crying out to Baal. Oh, maybe he's hard of hearing. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's traveling. Maybe he's not there. That's all he was saying. So you know what? Before, what did he say then? I'm the only true prophet here. How about that? How about them apples? Write that down. How about them apples? We're from Oklahoma. That's good grammar. And you guys from Broken Arrow, you're going, now he's speaking my language. God, we love you and praise you. God, we thank you tonight for the great provision you've given us. God, I thank you that you've brought Sandy into our lives. God, thank you for the blessing she is to so many people. God, I thank you that your reward is here today. Because you reward us for diligently seeking you. And God, in 1 Kings 18, we've been seeking you tonight, God. God, show your word alive. Show your word true for every person in this place, every person watching or listening right now. God, the deception, the lies, the intimidation, the fear the enemy's tried to keep us in. God, there's no response tonight. It's only you, God. Just make a commitment in your heart tonight. It's only God. Only God. Only his promise. Only his word. Only God.